Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for March 23rd, 2014. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Last week, a group of people from the Bay Area, from different Buddhist temples up there, got together and drove about 3 hours to Fresno to listen to a speaker, Jill Bote Taylor. She wrote the best-selling book, My Stroke of Insight. She has a PhD in, she's a neuroscientist. She knows about the brain, and she suffered a stroke in her left brain hemisphere. She gave a TED talk that was a very popular broadcast. She gave a talk in downtown Fresno at the William Sharyan Theater. There was a big crowd there and she gave a nice presentation. And then there was a luncheon afterwards. And then after that, she was able to get together with a couple of groups, and our group was one of them. And a really nice session talking to her. And her, in a nutshell, what her experience was that when her left brain hemisphere had a stroke, this is the center that controls speech and language. And these are the capabilities that our society really puts a value on, being able to communicate and to process. It's what we would call, I guess, knowledge, being able to conceptualize. And this was, in fact, her forte. She was got a PhD from Harvard. But now she had no language. But what she did have was her right hemisphere. And the left hemisphere always dominates the right hemisphere because of the value that our society puts on the kinds of cognitive functioning that the left brain hemisphere values. And she found out that her right brain hemisphere was the creative, imaginative side. And it was also the side that was very comforting. It was an awareness of oneness, one with the universe. Whereas the left side was much more discriminating, analytic, logical. And so she said she didn't think many people really got to experience what the right hemisphere had to offer. And if they realized that they had this capability within their own skull, that this would be something that the world could use. And this was her motivation for writing the book and going on speaking tour. And in our discussion with our small group, she said things like, her right hemisphere, in her right hemisphere, she's Buddhist. And her left brain hemisphere is a Christian. Isn't that interesting? But afterwards, you know, the group came up to Brighton Center here in Coarse Gold and we had further discussion on this topic. I had thought about the fact that back in the 70s, there was split brain research being done. People who had injuries to their corpus callosum, which is the thick track of fibers that connect the two hemispheres. So that usually everything's integrated. The two hemispheres can communicate with one another through this big track of fibers. In a way, it's sort of yin and yang. And to make very gross generalizations, the left brain is sort of more masculine and the right brain is more feminine. In fact, she talked about how humans evolved, where the men, they had to be go out and hunt be very focused on and be very task-oriented, whereas the women, they had to carry the children and work together with the other mothers and other women. A little more cooperation, and she said that in her presentation, she had some slides that she put on and she discussed. One of the slides said, in the left brain would rather be right than happy, whereas the right brain hemisphere would rather be happy than right. She's tailoring her name is Taylor, she's tailoring her presentation for communicating with the mass audiences, so she doesn't get too technical, and she makes broad statements, but it certainly makes us think. As I have been interested in cognitive functioning and creativity and religious experience back then, and it was not put into the same context as Geobolter Taylor was discussing. But research has shown that the left brain hemisphere is more involved in sequential processing, cognitive processing. It processes things in a sequence, like the words in a sentence, like numbers, whereas the right brain hemisphere is more involved in simultaneous processing, like seeing a picture. You see everything all at once. You see the relationships between things. You see the whole picture, the larger picture, if you will. And usually both of these hemispheres work together and so forth. But her message is we should recognize the value and develop our right brain hemisphere types of functioning. Our world needs this. This was a very provocative and fascinating topic that we might want to think about and how it relates to spiritual experience. Well, today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse is Michael Shinyo. He was of the Lay Minister 3 group, and he currently lives in Texas. And
here from Michael Shinyo.
My Dharma glimpse today is about finding direction. In the book Heard by Me, there's a quote by Reverend Haya Akagarasu that gives much meaning to direction in one's spiritual life. The quote goes, "Both those who have many teachers and those who have no teacher have not yet discovered their own way. Both those who worship many gods and Buddhas and those who worship no god and no Buddha have not yet discovered the world of truth. Blessed are those who have only one teacher, who serve only one Buddha." It is easy to jump around from teaching to teaching, from book to book, or teacher to teacher, but it can also cause confusion. I'm frequently reminded of a dream in which I'm chasing after a flying book. When I finally catch this book, it turns out to be my own heart. In Native American spirituality, it is said that one should follow a path with heart. What this means is that if the path does not feel right for you, maybe it's not your path. I often find myself reading and studying various spiritual traditions. Before Bright Dawn, Jodo Shinshi resonated the most with me, but it was not a path with heart for me. I do enjoy the teachings of Shinran and many Shin writers, but for me the way that Jodo Shinshi is generally presented is incomplete. The Bright Dawn path is my path with heart. It is non-sectarian, but it is not non-directional. So how does one find a specific direction in a non-sectarian path? For me, it is summed up in this quote by Reverend Nakagarasu. This does not mean that we cannot see everyone as a teacher. It simply means that a single spiritual teacher can help remove the chaos brought on by being easily distracted. An example is, for me, I like to go hiking the canyon, and often I get off the trail just to wander around. But I always find my way back to the main trail, as it is a more focused direction. I recently had another dream that led me to look into the idea of more specific direction. It seemed as if I had just barely closed my eyes when I saw a cloud entering my room. As the cloud rolled in, there was a bodhisattva riding on it. He was wearing golden robes and playing a lute. When I looked at his face, I saw that it was Reverend Koyo Kobose. He appeared to be either singing or chanting, but I could not hear anything. This dream showed me that I already had a teacher available. I just need to listen. The dream helped me to feel a connection to the Bright Line lineage teachers. It also got me contemplating my path. Bright Dawn has taught me that the path is in everyday life, not outside of it. I think a temple can be a positive thing, but it can also be a source of dichotomy. I don't think Shenron planned on having temples established. Bright Dawn offers a more personal path, a path that can be walked at all times rather than a place to go once a week to be religious for a couple hours. This path of Buddhism is a living Buddhism. This is what it means to keep going. Another thought on direction has to do with our secular lives. Right livelihood can be seen as a sort of koan, but really it's the same as with spiritual life. Is it a path with heart? After all, Buddhism should be a living experience, shouldn't it? When the teacher Nansen was asked Buddhism, his answer was everyday life. May we keep an attitude of gyashu and walk a path with heart. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Finding direction in one's spiritual life is tremendously important. There's nothing like searching. Of course, Siddhartha Gautama, the famous story of his life, he went to seek a direction. He left the palace, and to find that direction is crucial. I sometimes use to illustrate, if you find one's North Star, the North Star is famous for providing direction, you know? And you discover this. Imagine what a discovery this was for travelers. Hey, you know, when the pioneers were going, traveling, no maps, and they knew about the North Star. And once you know the North Star, it's, whoa, if you face that direction, then 90 degrees to the left is west. And that's where we're going. So at night, they would see the North Star before they go to sleep, and they would put their the hitch of their wagon pointing in the right direction they wanted to go in the morning. They orient this by looking at the North Star. Of course, you could do it by direction of the sunrise and sunset. There are many things that could provide direction, describing direction. And a teacher. And a teacher could be a person, could be a book, an experience that shows us one's direction in life. And this is something that has to be deeply experienced right in the core of one's being. And once you know the direction, there's a tremendous peace of mind. It doesn't matter how one travels, the pace at which one travels. Knowing the direction, you see, is different from being driven toward a goal, the destination. It's the traveling. One discovers this, that life is a journey, not a destination. The joy is in the doing, in the living. And sometimes our left brain hemisphere is too task-oriented, too, well, dualistic, saying, well, here's the means and here's the end. And we got to get to the end. See? Whereas, as my father would say, means equals the end. Or as Dogen, 16th century Buddhist priest, would say, practice is enlightenment. See, if you know your direction, then you have confidence, peace of mind, you'll never get lost. You could stop and you could sightsee over here if you want to. You could even go around in a circle over here, exploring. And then when everything's right, you could resume your journey. You could take detours. You don't have to be driven in a particular direction just because there's a place, a final goal. You don't. Life is keep going in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. So they say that, I read once that a teacher plays an important role at two times in a person's life. One is to get him on the path, to get him started, to show the direction that the Dharma is. And the second is, after a lot of traveling, sometimes you need a little bit of a, one reaches a kind of a conundrum, a final obstacle to complete enlightenment. And at that point, sometimes the teacher can give the final nudge over this last obstacle. But don't worry about that. The beginning is most important. And I read a saying on one of the, like the Zen daily quotes calendar, to begin, the only joy in life. Now that's, we're always beginning. That's kind of a, well, a dawning, sunrise. Okay? This is, well, I remember reading Carlos Castaneda's books, I guess it was in the 70s, where he talks about, if you're traveling, make sure you follow a path with heart. And this means that it has to be something in your, well, more than your heart, in your gut. Let's say there's three things, your head, your heart, and your gut. The head means, of course, left brain hemisphere, thoughts, analysis, analytic thinking, discriminations, logic, that kind of reasoning. And that's, we're not putting that down. That's very important. It gives us science and knowledge. And then the heart, let's say it represents emotions. Now, path with heart, I think, means more than just emotions. But let's just limit the heart in this head, heart, gut analogy, the heart as emotions. Sometimes you have certain feelings, and the feelings could not be a complete way of processing. Feelings could lead us astray, just like our analytical mind could lead us astray when we're facing big decisions in life. But our gut, this is might be where you might call it intuition. And these three aspects are not completely separate. I mean, our emotions take into account our reasoning abilities, and our intuition doesn't ignore our knowledge base. It doesn't ignore how we feel about things. It includes them, and it adds a little something more. And that gut is something that comes out of when you directly experience something. Experience over and above knowledge in your head, and over and above simple feelings. Even a feeling might be aversion or attraction, okay? And if we just go simply by a pleasure principle, sometimes our intuition says, no, you better take the road less traveled. So to learn to listen to this gut is what I would be calling the path with heart. It's a oneness. It includes everything that you might say is one's life. I like to think that the Bright Dawn Center, a fulfillment of Reverend Guillaume Kubosa's life work, I think it's a fulfillment of major spiritual traditions. They all want to point to enlightened living, everyday life. That's what it's about. That's where we want to put the emphasis, not on a particular technique or a method or a particular belief system and so forth. It's right to everyday life. The everyday mind is the Buddha mind. What does that mean? That's something that you cannot figure out just in your head, and don't be content with just, well, how do you feel about that? You gotta live it. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you.